Our scripture lesson for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatian congregations, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. While working as a servant in the home of an extremely wealthy man, this young man was approached by the owner's wife on numerous occasions, enticing him to come and sleep with her. And he continually had to put off her advances. You may recognize the story of Joseph in the Old Testament days in Egypt, in Potiphar's house. And finally he says to this woman, to the wife of Potiphar, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Probably could have gotten away with it. Probably would have been somewhat enjoyable in certain levels. And yet, he expresses that, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It's interesting that his reasoning that he expresses there is not to avoid getting in trouble, which I'm sure was also on his mind. But his reasoning was rather like this. How or why would I, who have been so blessed by this gracious God, why would I want to do something like this to anger him and upset him? How could I ever treat my loving God this way? He knew of the coming Messiah, the very Savior that would come into the world to atone for his sins, to take him to heaven someday. Had been taught this word as a child in his house. It was still that faith was still alive in his heart, even now in a foreign country. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was probably a young man at the time, maybe around your age, maybe a little older. Early adulthood is often a very challenging time for us to want to follow the things of God and to care about our lives of sanctification. We can be tempted, I know I sure was, still am, but we can be tempted to procrastinate regarding our lives of sanctification when it comes to obeying God's commands. And we can convince ourselves that, well, maybe someday down the road, then I'm going to start getting serious about this faith thing. Then I'm going to start really starting to take it serious. But for right now, my sinful flesh is having too much fun. This week in our chapel services, we've reflected the theme of the week and that of gratitude that the believer has in his or her heart toward God. Thanksgiving to God has been the theme of so many things. And really, that's at the root and the core of Joseph's response in that situation. It was gratitude to his gracious God. Now, St. Paul in the text before us to the Galatians is talking about our conduct and our demeanor and how we are toward people and toward others. That likewise can be a reflection as a thanksgiving to God, if you will, an offering to God, as if we stand inside of an offering plate to show our gratitude to God with our very lives. That's why Paul said to the Romans, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Your life is an expression of gratitude to this wonderful God who has served us and has such amazing plans ahead for us because of his Son. Now, it's interesting that in the verses right before our text, when St. Paul is describing the sinful things that still exhibit themselves in our lives at times, he refers to those as the works of the flesh. I'll just read a few of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Now, he refers to these as works of the flesh. That's an activity that our own flesh produces. But notice now, when he refers to the God-pleasing things in our lives, when he reflects on these wonderful things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father, These things that take place in the life of the believer, there he refers to them not as works of the Christian, or not even as fruits of the Christian. He refers to them as fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. Fruit is always produced by something else. The fruits of faith that take place in the lives of Christian are of divine origin. They have come from God. They are because of the activity of God, who has created faith in a person's heart to love Christ, to cling to his tremendous forgiveness that gives us salvation. That faith that God has alone worked inside of us and sustains in us even today, that is all produced by him. And so any fruit that flows from that faith is produced by the Holy Spirit himself. That's a wonderful thing to think of. When those gifts are exhibited in the life of a Christian, that's God alive and active inside of us. Well, can't an unbeliever perform those same things? Can't an unbeliever do some of these things in our text? Can't he be kind and good and self-controlled and full of love and peace? And sure, an unbeliever can do that too. I remember driving, I think it was on Highway 14 years ago, and there was a sign, it was up for many years, and it said that this part of the highway was picked up by the Atheist Society of Southern Minnesota. Well, good for them. And God bless them. In the kingdom of the left, in the kingdom of the things of this world, that's a tremendous, wonderful thing. But before the throne of God, it's meaningless, irrelevant. Only those good works that come from the heart of a believer in Christ are the ones that are noteworthy before God and worthy of his praise. And God also claims responsibility for those very things inside of you when they take place. Now, even when we repent of all the things mentioned in the text right before this, all of those horrible sinful things, even when we repent of those before God, that likewise is a fruit of the Spirit in us. But look closely at the first three that St. Paul mentions. We won't go through all of them today. Notice that they're all products of the gospel itself. They are an extension of the cross in our lives. First of all, love. Okay, love is the first fruit that he mentions, because all other fruits in our lives flow from that. It's the essence of Christianity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Joy, the foundational joy that we now have in our lives, looking forward to heaven, leading to that unbounded joy that we'll have someday. Peace, peace with God, sins forgiven, the very peace that Christ sent his church and his disciples out to proclaim into the world. And there is no law against any of these wonderful fruits. I'd like you to take out your hymn book and turn to hymn number 61 that we will close with today. Hymn number 61, My Heart is Longing. This was written by a woman named Charlotta Eugenie. She was the daughter of the King of Sweden back in the 1800s. She died when she was even a few years younger than I am. She had tremendous earthly wealth, and at the same time lived a very sad life, if you read her biography. But she was known, because of her Christian faith, she was known for tremendous acts of philanthropy and kindness and generosity. She always was looking out for the poor and the ill and invalid children, orphans, the blind. In fact, one writer in her day labeled her the Princess of the Tormented. That's how she was known. Just to show you how generous she was in her life, her brother, who later became the King of Sweden, was so concerned about her generosity that he used to tell guards to keep beggars away from her because he was afraid she would give up so much. Well, she penned this wonderful hymn that we're going to sing this morning. Please notice the verses as they're laid out. The final two verses will be our prayer for the day, so we will rise for those. So we join in singing our hymn.